Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Juneteenth Day! It's one of my favorite days of the year, and it is a fabulous celebration all day long here in Milwaukee. Continues tomorrow down at the Summerfest. Is there more stuff going on tomorrow at Summerfest too?
So Summerfest kicks off today. The regular Summerfest.
Yes. So the taste of Juneteenth, those two time slots where there's all of these local vendors, tons of food. That was 11 a.m. 12:45 p.m. But I think you can still go to the taste of Juneteenth down at the Summerfest grounds. Yes. You're gonna be kicking all this off, are you not?
I will be.
Madam Chairwoman, Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson, you're one of the VIP featured kicker offers of the celebration. When does all of that go down this afternoon?
So I'll be heading down to the Summerfest grounds. We'll be on the stage at 5:30 p.m. and we'll be kicking off from there. So find me on the stage. You'll find your county executive, your mayor, all the other wonderful elected officials, and Summerfest staff as well, as well as the North Cotton Neighborhood House, who will be helping to support the event.
That's great. Well, tell Mr. Mayor and Mr. County Executive that I say hello.
I will.
And that, just to, like, let's take a moment. I've said this before on this show. If you would have told me at the age of, say, 30, a while ago, like almost 20 years ago, that we would have a Black county executive, a Black mayor, a Black chief of police, a black female sheriff, a Black Latina as the chairwoman of the county board, and a Latino man leading the Milwaukee Common Council all at the same time, I would have been like, I'm sorry, are you talking about Milwaukee?
Right. A Black chief judge.
Judge. I forgot about our friend Judge Ashley, who's amazing. Yes, all of that. Mm-hmm. And we should also say Judge Maxine White being elevated, one of the first Black women elevated to the appeals court bench for District 1 in Wisconsin. Yeah, it is. These are the moments where, like, everything is so dark and terrible with Donald Trump. I mean, awful. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in a moment, specifically how terrible Donald Trump is for Black women who are the backbone of every community and every single justice movement in this nation's history. Again, all of the terrible stuff about Donald Trump, but here in Milwaukee, I always have a hopeful feeling.
Yeah.
I'm so proud to be from here. I love this city. It is so near and dear to my heart. I love all of the neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I bought John Gerta's book.
The
updated version. I gave out like six of them, including to you, my friend. You got one of those very books. The City of Neighborhoods. It's so amazing.
I love it.
But let's get into this. Just before we took a break, we started to get into the concept of intersectionality and the fact that the feminist movement really, in many ways, and many scholars have argued, actually hurt the cause of justice and full pay for Black women, because it really set this cultural normative assumption that white women in the workplace, that became sort of the cultural definition of women in the workplace. And frankly, white women reaped about 90% of the benefit of the movement, right?
Yes.
You look at white women get paid, I think it's 81 cents to the white man's dollar.
Yes.
Black women, it's 62 damn cents.
Yes.
Right? Like almost 20 cents less.
Right.
It's truly, truly shocking. And what we've seen in the Trump administration, and we can get into some of these statistics, but that the gutting of the federal workforce. Well, guess which department in the federal government, Marcy, has 28% of its employees are Black women?
The Department of Education.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Big shock. So all of this is having this really acute harm for Black women. And in fact, although the U.S. economy has overall added jobs since Donald Trump has become president, Black women have lost north of 110,000 jobs. That is shocking. So I was wondering if you could just speak from your experience a little bit. When these issues have arisen from your perspective, in especially let's just focus on your professional life, how have you navigated that? Because it is so challenging when you're getting, it's like mansplained and race-splained, right? Like maybe we're going to coin a new term, race-splaining, when one person tells Black folk how things are, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, and I'll talk about it from two folks. I'm in a very unique situation, but I'll start with my role as chairwoman of the county board. Before we went on break, we talked about what I have to deal with, the microaggressions, the white man trying to tell me what is justice and how to impact equity. And it's really, you know, it comes down to the misogyny that I face, the misogynoir, as yes. I call it. And then, you know, you have the media coupled with that is not kind to Black women. And having to navigate that is challenging. You just have so much coming at you all the time. And you're trying to perform for your residents. You're trying to put your head down and just do the work. Because that's why I signed up for it. Yeah. I didn't sign up for the attention. I didn't sign up to have my name to go to the ribbon cuttings. But you're constantly battling and trying to prove yourself and trying to overcompensate. And I know that I'm qualified for this role. I've been on the county board for 9 years now. I've been chairwoman for 5. I got elected at the height of the global pandemic. I led our body through that. I've led my body through 4 budgets so far, coming on our 5th. Our last budget was unanimous. That accumulated to almost $6.3 billion in investment in our community. So I know that I'm qualified. I have a college degree. I've done trainings. I've gone to conferences. I've done all the development work. And still I'm being told that I'm not good enough for the job. So that's something that I face as a Black woman in politics. And I'm constantly seeing my sisters in this work, women who are mayors, district attorneys, alderwomen, whatever have you, in other cities and states, who are losing their elections because of the rhetoric surrounding Black women post Kamala Harris's race. There is just an assault on elected Black women everywhere. Money poured into these races. We can't compete with the resources that are being poured into some of these races. So you have this attack on political women in the political fight. And then me, because the state assaulted our county board and made us part-time, actually work on the side of this.
Yeah.
And I do training in the DEI sector. And my organization that I contract with lost funding. And so I no longer have employment with this organization. And so when we talk about how Black women are being impacted, it's this accumulation of, it's the rhetoric, it's the, you know, it's the misogyny, it's the misogynoir, it's all those things that continually assault us from so many places. And we're so this has a outward effect, not just on us, but our communities as well.
Yeah, it's really stark. I have said to people before, if you want to know how the middle class, right, air quotes around middle class, is going to be doing in 2 or 3 years, look at how Black women are doing right now.
Right.
Black women as a demographic group are a canary in the coal mine. And it deeply matters. And again, the stereotypes and the rhetoric, which has been the out loud branding of what is no longer a Republican Party, but the MAGA regime,
right,
it is so specific today.
Yes.
Right? Like every cut in the big brutal bill, right? All of that is catalyzed and metastasized in some way by the stereotypes of yes. old, when the reality is Black women are one of the most employed demographics yes. in the country, have yes. the low and but end up, of course, hired last
right.
and fired first, or let
right.
go first
right.
because of these very things that you're talking about. Black women are also the most highly educated demographic yeah. in the country.
Yes.
More degrees like than any other demographic, which is really incredible. To paint this in a picture using some famous folks that you and I know, we've got a couple of cuts. Jacob, if you could cue up cut 14, let's take a listen.
I have a career that's probably comparable to Meryl Streep, Julianne Moore, Sigourney Weaver, and yet I am nowhere near them. Not as far as money, not as far as job opportunities, nowhere close to it. I have to go in and I have to hustle for my worth. That's what I feel like I'm doing. We won't talk about gender inequality of pay because a lot of the women who've stepped forward, and I stand in solidarity with them, okay? What they're getting paid, which is half of what a man is getting paid, well, we get probably a tenth of what a Caucasian woman gets. And I'm number one on the call sheet.
The great Viola
Davis. Viola
Davis. Dropping some truth bombs.
One of the best actresses that's ever graced this world.
Right. Does not get the same paychecks.
Right.
Here's Octavia Spencer, cut 15, also on this same topic.
But here's the thing. Women of color on that spectrum, we make far less than white women. So we're going to have that conversation about pay equity. We got to bring the women of color to the table.
Yes.
We built the table.
Yes.
We built the table. And that is the frustrating piece about all of this is we've been on the front line of justice. We were on the front line of the suffragette movement. Sojourner Truth said, ain't I a woman too? And still in 2024, ain't I a woman, Maggie? We're still having these same discussions.
Yes. One of the greatest traps is what I call the Black woman resiliency trap. It's like, oh, we'll give you this the hardest work. We won't pay you anywhere close. White women are 20 cents ahead, right? We'll punish you for being strong, yet you require you to be strong and all, like, it is so difficult. And you and I have talked about this in the political sphere. The target for Black elected officials is small. It's almost you can't see it for Black women. Like, errors not permitted.
Right.
Right. And all you have to do is look at 2024. And I don't, like, setting the partisanship aside for a moment, if you were just looking at the resumes, right, and the names were crossed off them, who the hell would you actually hire? I mean,
seriously.
Hint. Not the orange baby.
That's
right.
Like, that's right.
For real.
That's
right. All right. We're going to take care of some business. Marcy, do you have to go?
I'll stay on a few more minutes.
Oh, you can. Yeah. Yay. She's coming back with me on the other side. That's Marcelia Nicholson, the County Board Chairwoman of Milwaukee County. My friend and now yours. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
Oh, the music.
Right?